we're back here on Out of the Woods. Both there is here, and we're just chatting about a few things during the break there. And the new recording you were talking about, is that the one you were just playing a track from a few minutes ago?
Yeah, New Deal is on that one. Okay. And I'm also doing this is an interesting another thing. There's a small label down in Boston called Mad Oak, and they're just starting up. And we've done it's kind of a label that's come about from a studio called Mad Oak, and that's where I've done a lot of recording over the years. We're doing a split vinyl release with this other band called Murcielago from Maine. They're going to be on one side of the vinyl, and we're going to be on the other.
Oh, that's wild.
And I was just down in Boston 2 days ago, actually, recording some stuff for that. So that's going to be out in September. There's some odd songs, you know, that really didn't fit into any of the records or into our set. But we still felt like they were good songs. And so we went and we recorded them and polished them up a bit, and we're going to be using those and for that vinyl release on Mad Oak Records in September. So there's a lot going on. We got the Hindsight coming out next week, and the split vinyl coming out in September, and the Epic Eden coming out in January.
You seem to be one of the busiest guys out there.
I like to stay busy.
See all those updates all the time.
Yeah. As well as trying to remodel my kitchen at the same time, too. So it's all about rough electrical and drywall the last couple days, too. But, there's also a movie that was made about last year's Tweed that we will be releasing at this year's Tweed. There'll be a screening of it, and people could purchase it in DVD form. And it's a documentary on how the whole thing started, which is a pretty interesting story because the whole thing came about just through these parties that started off small. There were little picking parties on my deck. It started a couple years, 10 years ago. And then the parties got a little bit bigger every year until we finally decided 4 years ago to go public with it. And that's how the Tweed River Festival came about. And this is the story of that, you know, a documentary of it. And they did a really good job on it. So keep an eye out for that as well.
Cool.
But you had mentioned you want to hear Tango Rose. So let's...
Sure.
I lived for a little while out in Flagstaff, Arizona, in the Northwest, and tooled around there a bunch. And kind of fell in love with the Southwest and wrote a bunch of songs about it. And this is one of them. It's called The Tango Rose. South Colorado. When Sedona left, she said, "Don't follow." He was down on his knees in the town of Durango. Was a Billy all banged if he'd never been so low. Was his last chance, he was out on furlough. He was writing a sermon, his own funeral. Scratches scrolling prose on a cocktail napkin from the Tango Rose. Burned out at 55 for it, about a half a mile shy of the Utah border. When she asked how long would it take to get parts, that a couple of days, I guess you're out of luck, girl. And the sun rolled over the dusty old town. And it heated the streets up before it went down. And the lights came on and they opened the doors. And the sign overhead flashed a tango rose. Tango rose. At the end of the bar, at the end of the line, there was salt tequila, the scene of the crime. And a fight broke out before it was through. They Billy all banged up and sipped on a suit. It was the last chance and the sun never rose. As blood still drips from the tip of a thorn. To this day, nobody knows what really happened at the Tango Rose. What really happened at the Tango Rose? What really happened at the Tango Rose? The Tango Rose, the Tango Rose.
Both there, all right. And once again, acrobatic guitar picking with a 3-year-old hanging off his arm. It's amazing stuff, folks. We really should have a video of this because it's pretty amazing. Tango Rose, and that one is actually on your Shooting Arrows at the Moon CD as well. And we're trying to wrangle the kids here.
This is River, by the way.
Hi, River.
River's kind of crazy. All right, buddy. We'll see you later. And his older brother, Rye, who's saving my butt all the time.
There you go.
Rye's 14, River's 3, so I guess we created our own babysitter.
So do you have a few in between, or are they really that far apart? Wow. Yeah, I have a 17-year-old at home. We're doing college visits now.
All right, yeah. Okay.
I know the other thing I wanted to ask you about was in Boston, when was it, a few months ago, you saw you wearing a crown down there.
Oh, boy, yeah. That was, I wouldn't have put my money there, but we were invited to come down and play the famous Boston Rumble, which was its 33rd year, I think. And that was kind of cool. You know, I lived in Boston for years. I grew up in the South Shore of Massachusetts. And it was really nice to be invited down there and recognized. And we won. I really can't believe that, I haven't been down there and part of the scene for 15 years. And here's an old banjo player in Vermont that went down and took the Rumble.
They missed you.
Yeah, I guess so. We went down there and turned it up, though. And, I have an amazing band. And, it was a lot of fun. I met a lot of people and, rekindled some old musical relationships and stuff, and yeah, we won a bunch of stuff too.
Very cool.
Some studio time, and the funny thing is, I won some studio time, and right when I finished building my own studio up at my place, and one of the prizes was a headlining position at the Tweed River Music Festival as well. So,
Well, that was another event that had a lot of different styles of
rock. Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, I remember back in the day, it was mostly really heavy kind of garage rock stuff. I remember being in a. I went to high school with a bunch of people who were very much part of the punk rock, you know, scene in Boston. And so I think I was in probably 10th grade when Gangrene won, I think, the first or second Rumble, or maybe it was younger than that. But anyway, we're all in school together. And, you know, of course, I was listening to all kinds of music. I was listening to a lot of the, you know, the Stones and the Dead and the Zeppelin and all that classic rock stuff, and really trying to learn how to play guitar through listening to that kind of music. But all my friends were really into, you know, like Black Flag and the Minutemen and, you know, bands like that. A lot of the right. punk stuff. And Fugazi, of course. And it's funny, it kind of, because I was exposed to both worlds. And, you know, I never really differentiated between, you know, heavier music and you know, older music. You know, people that our parents were listening to, as opposed to the stuff that the kids were listening to. You know, to me, it was just all music. And,
right.
you know, and I found the good stuff and bad stuff in both of it. And I never really picked a side. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, when I got to art school in college, you know, I was in a band called Seven League Boots, where I really got to marry the two. Incidentally, at this year's Tweed, that band, Seven League Boots, is getting back together. We haven't even seen each other for 20 years. And we put out one record on Cargo Records that was remastered, and that will be, you know, that'll be there too. I haven't even heard the remastered version yet, but yeah, it should be interesting. And that band was kind of a mishmash between blues, heavy rock, and reggae rhythms. Kind of like bands like the Bad Brains, if you can remember back then. Although instead of being thrash punk and ska, we were more like kind of riff rock and reggae. And it's pretty interesting. We got to tour a lot with we did a tour with Fugazi, actually, which was the DC-based punk band. And we did some tours with the Mighty Mighty Bosstones, which were more of a ska band. Right. And Bim Scala Bim, you know, we did a lot of shows with them. And, you know, it was a great time. But I learned a lot, you know, because I was playing this heavy rock stuff. And then when I went back and picked up the banjo, I discovered that I was using a lot of that riff rock in my banjo playing. And it's all starting to come full circle, because now I play mostly with the Perfect Trainwreck. I play electric banjo, and I play it through a rather large setup. I use a Leslie speaker. I use a little bit of a bass octave in there to get a frequency that I like. And so when we're playing, it's like banjo. The configuration is banjo, pedal steel, bass, organ, and drums. There's no guitar in it. But that's, it's wild. Still reminiscent of some of those Seven League Boots days, you know, those the riffs that I was playing on my Les Paul. It's just funny. I didn't really notice that until I had to go back and learn all these Seven League Boots songs. Like, wow, that sounds like something I'd do on the banjo now. Oh, River's back. Are you going to behave yourself, mister? Are you going to behave yourself?
Yeah. Hey, River. Okay.
You could say hi to Mommy on the microphone.
No.
Okay. Can we play a song by Daddy's band? Perfect Trainwreck? We'll play a song off our record, Bottom of the Sky. That's the last one I did off with Perfect Trainwreck. This one's okay. Called Buffalo Joe. Song kind of came about after reading most of Joseph Campbell's works on mythology and stuff. Big fan of his. This one's called Buffalo Joe. Thank you.
blowing like a bubble, gonna bust into pieces. The pieces fall down and get caught in the breeze. Gonna blow over another city of dreams. Hell on wheels, fast and getting faster. They're blowing that deal with the wave of the future. Coming up on the rear, gonna bypass that hell on wheels. Now I've heard it said that the hearts of men will beat together in unison when the heads of state start listening and the hands of fate stop cashing in. Well, the old story goes, and the way of the warrior shows, you know, we need somebody now. We'll be trapping like the buffalo, don't you know? We need somebody now. We need somebody now. Tales of glory, gotta find somebody to rewrite the story, make a little more sense and make a lot more clear, a lot more hope and a lot less fear. Oh, circle around the wagons, burn down a mission, stand up and fight or sit down, I quit bitching cause the mood is getting low in everyone's kitchen. See through the fog, you know you just gotta listen. As the old story goes, the wave of the warrior shows, you know, we need somebody now. Oh, Joe, we'll be dropping like the buffalo, don't you know, we need somebody now. We need somebody now. We need somebody. Need somebody now. Now.
Buffalo Joe.
Yeah, I think River dug that one.
Yeah. He likes the heavier stuff.
There you go.
Almost. Almost. You might have to leave John with one more song in his audience. It's a lot of people out there, River.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They like your dad. They want to hear him sing.
Thank you for allowing me to play here today, by the way, John.
Sure, absolutely. Been wanting to do it for a long time, so.
It's a great program you have here. I noticed you've been playing the instrumental Crooked Blaze.
Yeah, last week I played
that.
I saw
that.
That's a neat one there. I like that.
I wrote that song in Colorado, actually. It's Crooked Blaze is a band of horses. That are wild horses out there, and we were hiking around, and Rye, you were there that day.
Yeah.
You were, how old were you then?
Five.
Five-ish. And we came across a whole band of horses, and they all had the same crooked blaze on their nose, and it was just a really beautiful thing. And a couple years after that, I ended up writing that song, and I really couldn't find any words to describe it, so it just came out in instrumental on the banjo. And I promise next time, John, I'll bring the banjo. I couldn't fit it in the car. I had every intention of bringing it. I even put new strings on it, but we just couldn't fit it in there. It was either the banjo or the dog, and so, you know.
And the dog's still out there.
We
didn't bring him into the studio.
Yeah.
That would make for interesting.
Just, I think the three-year-old's enough.
Yeah, he's a good kid.
Oh, he has his moments. Yeah. So, any requests?
I'm looking at the only CD I have in front of me.
Well, why don't we do something? You mentioned that you had the Spend It All record.
Yeah, sure.
That I did with Lee Von Helm, which I was so lucky to forge a friendship with good old Lee Von. And he was gracious enough to come and play on a record back in, I think it was 2006. And because of him, I was able to meet a lot of people, like Justin, who is producing a new record, and Larry Campbell, and everyone there at the barn. And he was just such a great guy, you know. Sorely missed.
Absolutely.
But you know, he kind of rekindled the spirit in all of us, you know, that no matter what, just keep playing music. It doesn't matter how famous you get. It doesn't matter how many people are there or what kind of venues you do. Or it's just like, just keep on playing and just keep on doing it, because it's a really good thing to do.
There you go.
So we'll play this one for Levon. This is one of the ones I recorded with him. It's called Wingless Angels.
All right.
And I'm going to edit it, too. There's a word in here I probably shouldn't be saying on the radio. But. Oh, just one more song, buddy, and then we'll go, okay? Yeah, you're getting cranky. Why don't you grab him again, right? Say goodbyes. Ain't parenthood fun?
Oh, yeah.
Seems like such a long, long time. I duck beneath the radar and I'd skip across that line. I'd stop up in St. Albans, not to Montreal, where I'd make pretend I didn't know what was being bought or sold. Strange folks in this dirty game, and one was so evil, I won't even say her name. Well, she had me from the first time around, and she held me so sweetly as she pinned me down. And it felt so real, felt so right. All we ever did was eat and drink and love and fight. Well, a deal got thin, she turned me in. I ducked beneath the radar and I was on the road again. Strong of will, but I'm weak in heart. We up on top of the hill, we're up there. One could rule for miles around. Humble is the man who walks back down. 'Cause the road is rough, it's hard to see. Gotta slow down the pace, have some faith in destiny. And I hear them sirens, they're calling me amongst the wingless angels in unbridled clarity. I stick my head in holy water, I dip my crown of thorns, and I stumble back down off the hill with the cross that I was hung on. And now and then I drift back in time, and I think about the love of lust that I left behind. It's goodbye gun, goodbye rose, hello to that virgin land where I belong. And I hear them voices, they're calling me amongst the wingless angels in perfect harmony.
Both there, live here in the studio. And that one, the whole album had Leave on it, on that real tight drum sound.
You know, I sent him a demo. And when he got to the studio, you know, it was the first time we had ever met. And it was during an ice storm, you know. And I saw, you know, a black car pull up. And he got out and he was like tugging on. He had his drums, not even in cases. They were just like all in his little sob, you know. And Butch Denner, his road manager, had gotten in an accident the night before and couldn't make it. And he drove himself down there in his pretty dicey conditions and, you know, came in and set up his stuff. And I was like, you know, Levon, did you get that demo? He's like, nope. So I was like, oh, great. It's going to be a long day. And he nailed every single one of those songs in the first or second take. You know, he just said, you know, make it so I could hear you. You know, when here's the bridge, here's the chorus, you know, verse goes something like this, and he just went for it. And we were all like, wow. Well, that's why he's Levon Helm. He just goes for it. And and there's a video that is popping up too. Come the Tweed time. I haven't seen it, but some footage was taken of us making that record. And I can't wait to see it. The guy who took it said he was putting together a little video of a song called Stone Kid that we did. And I can't wait to see it. It's going to be kind of funny to revisit that time.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, Levon will definitely be missed. I did a whole show for him when he passed. And I used to go see the band quite a bit during the later years.
Yeah, I did too. You know, that was... you know, I never got to see him when Robbie was in the band. This is a little guy like this one, but but I, you know, when they reformed, I used to see him quite a bit because they played all over the place in New England. You know, they'd play all these summer festivals, and we'd see him, and that was I fell in love with the band, their whole mystique, their whole style. That's probably why I left Boston to come move up into the sticks of Vermont. Is, you know, I had that kind of romantic, you know, vision of, you know, being up in the hills with a bunch of freaks making, you know, stoking the wood stove and coming up with songs. And that's what we do.
I saw them up in Vermont at the Sugar Bush Festival. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's right up your way, too.
I'm not too far from Sugar Bush. I'm about 40 minutes from Sugar Bush. Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, I don't know. You want to get these guys?
Let me get these guys. I gotta get them, get them in the car, get some food in their belly, and mosey on down the road.
What do you think, River? That sound good?
Yeah, we're done. We're done. Is that okay with you? Yeah.
There's a smile.
Can
now.
Can you say goodbye to everybody?
Goodbye.
Bye, River.
I'm going away.
Yeah. Okay, we're going away right now. All right, John. It's been a real pleasure. Thanks. We'll come back.
Absolutely. Thanks again. I'll be there to talk to you in just a minute or two. All right. We'll be right back after this.